tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Buongiorno. Ciao. Buenos dias. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. This is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory. And today we're going to talk about the way to eat out. Yes, we all love to eat out. No doubt about that. And so I wanted to do a quick pod on a kind of a guideline on how you can eat out relatively healthily. Now, we'll talk about this in a second. But first, you can reach me at Naturopath Earth on Facebook. I posted some videos there recently, and Naturopath Earth on the Twitter. I recently, as in like yesterday, created an Instagram account. There I am, naturopathic_earth. Naturopathic_earth. So there we actually have the ick of naturopathic, whereas the other two don't. So I posted some videos there. It's going to take me time to work on that. Instagram, you know, like on the other two, if any of you follow me on those, you know, it's easy to post articles because I'm all about awareness and information. But on Instagram, apparently that's not really what it's for. It's all about pictures and videos. And it's a little discombobulating and disconcerting for old folks like me. But anyway, today we're going to talk about your definitive clean eating guide to eating out. How to avoid the landmines of food toxins. And in the event you don't have a pen and paper to write down every word that I utter henceforth, you can find this article on my website, which is www.naturopathicearth.com. NaturopathicEarth.com. That's a pretty good speller when I was a kid. It's pretty good. I have one of those memories where I remember how to spell stuff. And I'm pretty good at grammar Nazi. Though, by all means, if you find a lot of typos in my articles, please tell me about them because I'm sure they're there. Because I try to be prodigious in my output and not the type of output that comes out down there, but like in terms of writing and stuff. So, you know, here and there I am going to forget to maybe miss a period or whatnot. I just want running. I don't run much anymore. This will be a separate podcast. I go running like every 2 weeks. The older you get, the less important you realize exercise is in terms of just staying in shape. Movement is crucial. And probably this will be the next podcast. I'm deciding whether or not we're going to do one on sleep biohacking, movement biohacking, or exercise, like the definitive guide to exercise. Because one of the reasons I do this podcast, both MP Radio and Confessions of an Obese Child, is because I think I have a unique story to share. The fact that I used to be overweight and then I lost it, and I'm coming up to 26 years on May 4th, and I want to give you these tools. And I'm not selling anything to you. I'm not like, well, listen to me and then go buy my fill in the blank. Now, maybe I might eventually, if I have the time, write a little book on it, like 27 ways that I lost weight, because a lot of them are very easy steps, just easy biohacks, just ways you can speed up your metabolism in a healthy way. But right now, I'm just wanting to talk and reach out to you guys and help you guys out. Because like I see my overweight students in class or school or when I'm walking around the supermarket, it just breaks my heart. And I just think I have some information to offer. And I'm not saying that everything I say is right or true. But it's just, I have information I think that might be useful. So today's useful information is going to be eating out. So eating out is like no man's land in World War One, in the Great War, 1914 to 1918. It's like trench warfare. So like you're fighting, you're going over the trench. Let's go, guys! And you're dodging the barbed wire, you're dodging the mines, the sarin gas, all the horrible things they used to kill 20 million humans during that war. And then at the very end, you think you made it, and then boom, you step on a landmine, you blow up, and you die. eating out's the same way. You think you know what to pick when you go, and you think you've eaten well, but there's just so many toxic hidden ingredients that they put that you really can't avoid them. Now, there are certain things that you can do, and that's what we're going to talk about today, things that you can do. But as a whole, as you already know, it's better to eat in because you can control the ingredients than eat out. But let's be realistic. It's like me eating naan, okay? I'm not going to stop eating naan. Like, I'll probably have some naan today when I eat my Middle Eastern food from Pasha, okay? So it's the same thing. We're going to eat out, okay? So let's go over really quickly some of the crap that they put in the food. Now, I've already established that restaurants and fast food don't care about you. They don't care about our health. They care about making a profit, which is capitalistic. There's nothing wrong with that. But just know that they're not like, ooh, let's make the healthiest food. Now, they will have the under 300 calorie. And I don't know if some restaurants still have that, right? The healthy part. It's only 300 calories. As if calories is the only thing that has to do with weight loss. And really, calories have nothing to do with keeping your weight down. Typically, it's more about what the calorie is, because not all calories are created equal. Gary Taubes, all his books will tell you that. Not every calorie is created equal. But either way, as a whole, they'll might have some lower calorie food, but the toxins are still high. So we know they're going to put in a lot of sugar, a lot of salt, and a lot of fat to get that bliss point. So that is one issue. But the other issue is just the crap. Okay, so we already know, and this is a great continuation of the clean eating pantry and fridge. We know MSG is pretty much in everything that you're going to eat at a restaurant. Just assume that if it has any salt, they're going to put in the MSG because it's addictive, right? And they want you to come back. So that's in there. Don't even assume that it's not. And don't fall for the Chinese restaurants too. No MSGs added. Now, glutamate is a natural product that you find. And actually, the brain makes glutamic acid. But monosodium glutamate is a known food toxin and an excitotoxin. And I'm trying to think of there's a great book on it. Hidden Toxin, the Excitotoxin That Kills by, I think actually Dr. Mercola. You guys might be familiar with Mercola. Mercola is a great website. I think it's actually the number one health website. But I'm pretty sure he has a book. And there's definitely, and I'm sure there's somebody else. I can't remember. Anyway, go to his website. I'm sure you can Google the dangers of MSGs. But in Chinese restaurants, they put it in there. Okay. And this is another article that my friend Paul would like me to write. Like, code words that they use for MSG, code words that they use for artificial sweeteners, code words that they use for sugar. Because a lot of these food items, especially in the pantry, they'll say no MSGs, and then you'll see autolyzed yeast extract in one of the ingredients. It's MSGs. Okay, so it's like BPA. It's a bait and switch. Are they out and out lying when they don't have MSGs in it? No, but they'll just have a sister excitotoxin that's very similar that mimics MSG in it. So they're not really officially lying. Food dyes are going to be in the food. That's no question. The preservatives are going to be in there. Sodium citrate, potassium sorbate, sodium nitrate, citric acid. Some of those are more benign than others. Tons of salt, right? Salt, 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 sugar, fat, salt, 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 salt. Artificial sweeteners, again, it's the same like dirty dozen culprits that the FBI is on their most wanted list. And then the most egregious thing is just foods cooked in vegetable oil. Everything is going to be cooked in vegetable oil. Unless you're going to a high-end restaurant, just make the assumption it's cooked in vegetable oils. Canola, corn, palm, just all of them. Okay. Now, this is one of the suggestions you can make later on. Okay, so just go in knowing that you're going to get a nice dose of radioactive toxins. Not to mention irradiated food. You know, we radiate a lot of our food ostensibly to take out a lot of toxins or to preserve the shelf life. That's why. But we do radiate quite a bit of our foods. So before we get to the definitive guide to eating out, we're going to go cuisine by cuisine. Let's go over some go-to good things you can do. Okay, these are like built around just a nice rubric, rule of thumb of that what you should do. So number one, build your entree or dish or whatever you're going to order around protein and vegetables. Okay, very paleo, protein, vegetables. Can't go wrong. Now, granted, they're not giving you organic beef or pastured eggs or pastured chicken, none of the free-range chickens. Okay, they're not giving you that. It's going to be conventional beef from the big agribusinesses. Okay. So again, you're making that choice by eating out. You're not going to get quality organic meat. Now, of course, there's some restaurants that you will get that if you go high end. But as a whole, I assume it's just conventional crap. And the vegetables are going to be pesticide laden. But again, okay, well, this is fast food. So build it around a protein and a vegetable. Now, ideally, if your whole dish can just be the protein, meat source, and a vegetable, that's even better. Your meat should be cooked rare to medium. Overcooking meat is a carcinogen. It releases carcinogens in the meat. This has been well established. And thankfully, Time Magazine, when they had that expose last year on processed meats, also brought it up too. So you want to cook your meat, I don't know, like steak tartare raw, but you know, medium rare to medium. That's the way you want to go on your beef. Just on the beef. Change side dish choices. So like when I go to my Middle Eastern restaurant, lots of times my moussaka or my fish dish or my chicken shawarma will come with rice and hummus. Okay, sometimes if I'm not in the mood for rice, which is rare because I love that rice, I'll go, hey, can I have the sauteed spinach or the mixed vegetables or the feta cheese side or something else, okay? So just because something comes with French fries doesn't mean you can't ask for something else. Beans, you know, beans are less egregious and taxing on the body than French fries. As much as we love the French fries, and I love French fries with my mayo, you know, we know French fries are really bad, tons of trans fats. So another one you can do is, and this is a big one, just ask that your food be cooked in butter. Now, a lot of good places, reputable places, like any place that has a waiter, essentially, if you ask them, hey, can you cook my food in butter? They should agree to that and say, and have no problem. If they raise a ruckus, if they go back, oh, we can't do that, then really that restaurant's not worth a damn because they should be cooking in butter or lard. We should not be cooking in vegetable oils. Okay, so that's definitely something to ask. And if you want to make it up, if you don't want to come off like some clean eating snob, you can just say, hey, I have an allergy to vegetable oils, canola or whatever, soybean. Hey, can we cook it in butter? On the salad dressing, stick to olive oil or lemon juice or some vinegar, vinaigrette, mix on the side, put on the side. A lot of the creamy dressings are mostly made up of soybean oil, and then they have another vegetable oil in there too, and they just have a lot of MSGs, especially the flavored ones. And they have a lot of calories. So again, get your calories from good stuff. Like I tell the students, like, why drink your calories? Why are you going to drink two Cokes if you can get, for the same amount of calories, a cheeseburger? Right? It's the same thing here. Don't get your calories from the salad dressing. Get it for something tastier than that. And then another thing you can do, and I know a lot of you might do this, is just ask them to put half of your entree in a doggy bag, to-go bag, and that way when they serve it, it's not as big. Because you know we are. When we see food, we're going to want to eat it all. All right, you're less likely to overeat. All right, so let's go over to the major cuisines. And again, these are just my suggestions. This is not like rule of thumb, but honestly, I think these make sense. So Chinese food, even the American corruption of it, it's pretty nutritious. Try to avoid items that are drowned in sauces or are fried. As much as we love the sweet and sour pork, sweet and sour shrimp, you know, not that good. The sauces are very heavy laden with the aforementioned toxins. You can ask no MSGs. They'll say, no MSGs added, but just bring it up because most places won't saddle it with as much MSG as they used to. Avoid the noodles and choose white rice over fried. I mean, ideally, you don't want to eat rice, but come on, we're being realistic. How are you going to go to a Chinese restaurant and not get rice? But don't get the fried one. And then they avoid the noodles because that's just pasta. Avoid the GMO overly salty soy sauce. You know, like a good dish you can get there is maybe something like a beef broccoli or a chicken with shrimp and vegetables or anything with vegetable plate. Opt for the spring rolls instead of the fried egg rolls, you know, the ones that are white, kind of wrapped in that white tissue. And then if you go to like a Thai or Vietnamese restaurant, go for the curry. I mean, the curries are incredible. They taste great. They have a lot of turmeric, which is a super herb. Definitely go with the curries. I love the curry. You know, I'm not going to do my Indian accent here. Not going to do it. And I'm not even going to try a Vietnamese accent, but I like the curries. Mexicano way, my food way. Let's go down to the South Side way. Let's go down. Let's go to the taqueria. So Mexican food. Now, American Mexican food is nothing like real food in Mexico. If you go to real food in Mexico, we don't smother it with chili and cheese and fry stuff nearly as much as we do in Cal-Mex, Tex-Mex, New Mexico type Americanized food. But there are a lot of superfoods in Mexican food, but there's unfortunately a lot of artery-clogging crap. Probably the best route to go, again, is going to be a grilled meat with charro beans or borracho beans. No, not the refried beans. But, you know, even refried beans are okay. But if you have to make a choice, go with the charro beans. The guacamole, of course. Avocado, superfood. Rice with corn tortillas. Okay, so maybe think of fajitas. Fajitas come with all those grilled peppers and onions. Little rice. Go with little borracho beans, little corn tortillas. It's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. Even a little sour cream, a little cheese. It's all right. It's okay. You could do the shrimp one too if you want. The shrimp fajitas. I remember I lived in Alaska back in the 90s and I drove through the Yukon Territory because you got to drive through Canada to get to Alaska. And I stopped at a Mexican restaurant and we ordered some food and they're like, would you like some shrimp fajitas? And I was like, wow. But I'm like, okay, well, to be fair, we're in the northern polar regions of Canada. So I don't blame them for not knowing how to pronounce certain Mexican food. So what you want to do is stay away from the fried foods. Again, I mean, you're going to see a recurring theme in a lot of these things. So the flautas, the chimichangas, and chimichangas to me, I always thought kind of like tiramisu, I always thought was Japanese. Chimichangas to me sounds like it's Asian, right? Chimichanga. Changa. It doesn't sound Mexican. And I think it's a Tex-Mex item, like nachos is another one. Tacos, tostada shells, the heavy creams, the heavy sauces, the heavy dollops of cheese and sour cream. Try to stay away from those. And the tortilla chips, I mean, honestly, this is one of the reasons why we go to Mexican restaurants. Just try to limit them or ask not to have them. You know, don't put them on the table. Italiano, go to Italiano, go to Italia. Italia is great country. Get some gelato. Get some spaghetti. Grazie, 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 grazie. Arrivederci, ciao. So with the Italian, again, it's very Americanized. Just don't even go to an Italian restaurant, to be honest. Because what do we eat at Italian restaurants? Pasta, bread, Alfredo sauce, just laden stuff, fried calamari. I love calamari. Fried whatever. Again, if you're going to go, again, grilled meats and vegetables. So maybe like a chicken parm, an eggplant parm, something maybe with marinara sauce as opposed to, of course, the Alfredo. Try to limit your pasta. Again, just build around the vegetales and the carne. Okay. Pizza, yeah, good luck on this one. It's tough, right? I mean, you're looking at the bread, which is gluten-y. You're looking at the carcinogenic-laden processed meats and the bacon and sausage. Yeah, that's a problem. You got, yeah. So what can you do with pizza? Thin crust over deep? Sure. Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, my mom, we used to get Domino's when it came out in the 80s. And I remember she used to always, because she tried to watch her weight a little, I think, when she was younger. But she'd always like, mijo, Albertote, we need to pat the pizza. And so we would get paper towels and pat the paper towels and pat the top of the pizza. And you would see how much fat was in there, right? And it was tons of fat. Tons of grease. So with pizza, I would say slice or two is okay. Maybe go thin crust. Maybe go vegetables. Try to stay away from the processed meats. Load up on a lot of salads. Not that, you know, Pizza Hut buffet has a lot of great salad options. But load up on the salad. Load up on the bulk. And one of the things before you go, drink a lot of water. Make sure you're hydrated because hunger, I should say thirst masquerades as hunger quite a bit. So lots of times we're thirsty, but we think it's hunger pangs. Pangs, don't say pains, pangs. So we think we're hungry, but we're really thirsty. So if you drink a lot of water beforehand, that's going to help you from overeating. Still doesn't help you make good choices, but at least it's going to help you from overeating when you make the bad choices. Hamburger fast food, this is a toughie, of course, because most of the meat is chemically laced, shot up with ammonia, shot up with food dyes and make it look fresher than it is, growth hormone injected. I remember reading somewhere that the average meat patty comes from 11 diseased cows. The french fries are fried in rancid vegetable oils. You know, the breads are bleached and sprayed with chemicals. There was that big expose that came out 2-3 years ago where fast food restaurants were being sprayed with azo, which is a flame retardant chemical that they put in yoga mats. So they're essentially putting like yoga mats in the bread to keep it, again, fluffy and soft. So if you look at it from their point of view, as I mentioned with the initial interview with Kate McCall, if you talk to anybody from big restaurant or big food, they'll tell you they put in these things just to keep their food fresher and longer because, again, the longer it's fresh, the longer they can use in there, therefore more profit. Imagine how often you got to throw out vegetables all the time if you work at a restaurant. you're throwing out vegetables all the time unless you spray them and preserve them at a certain level. So again, they're thinking about the profit. They're not thinking about your health per se. So the best advice really is to go to a place that maybe has higher quality meat, like In-N-Out, Five Guys, you know, any of those places that purport at least to have better quality meat. A little more high end, they're probably going to have better quality meat. Opt for bunless items. You know, again, that's more of like the Atkins thing, but maybe go with grilled chicken as opposed to a fried chicken sandwich and get a meatless patty, limit the French fries, or maybe get another side dish. But I mean, there are a lot of places that have the vegetarian patties. There's a place that I go to here in town that it's a burger place. They have a big turf area so the kids can run around. They have a portobello mushroom one. So that's another option, of course, is you can replace the bun with a portobello mushroom. So you can have the meat in the middle with portobello mushroom on top and below it with some guacamole, sauteed onions. It's really good stuff. Then, I'll eat the fries. I like sweet potato fries. And then drink a lot of water. But in terms of like Jack in the Box, Wendy's, McDonald's, or McDevil's, I mean, that's just Sonic. No offense, and I hope I don't get sued from you guys listening, but it's garbage number two. It's just literal junk. Just stay away. And if you talk to anybody who works at these places, like my students work at a lot of fast food, they'll tell you all the horror stories of like what the workers do to the food. They drop them on the ground. They still use them. They do other things to it. They don't clean the machinery because, you know, at that age, you don't care about your jobs really. So hamburger places, go heavy on the protein and little on everything else. Sandwich shops, I'm not a big fan of Subway and Quiznos in these places because, again, they're using processed meat. And Subway did such a phenomenal job of manipulating people into thinking that's a healthier choice than fast food. Tell me, how is it healthier than fast food? Have you ever seen the studies on how much calories and fat, bad fat, the tuna salad sandwiches and the old seafood sandwiches that Subway had? Just it's insane. It's insane. So where do they get this idea that using processed meats, which are known carcinogen, lead to colorectal cancer in particular, are somehow healthier than the cancer-causing regular patties that you would get at a regular fast food restaurant? Why? Because you could put more vegetables on it? I suppose that's okay. But you're looking at the flame-retardant bread, the processed meat, and all the soybean oil dressings, and then you got the chips and the cookies. So look, I mean, can you make a healthy dish? Yeah. So if you go to Subway, try to get the salads. Most of them will have salads. You'll tell them what vegetables you want to put on there with a little, chicken, even though that chicken's not real. You could do that with a little salad dressing and avoid the bread, but just stay away from Subway. I mean, honestly, just go to a burger place because you're going to get a lot more protein, which will fill you up. I mean, I honestly would rather you go to a high-end burger place like Five Guys and get like a double beef patty with no cheese and maybe no fries or little fries, and just eat a lot of that beef and maybe low bread or take off one of the breads with lots of vegetables in the burger, then go to Subway. Because, I mean, the processed meat really doesn't fill you up, the deli meat. Okay, so let's go to some places where you can actually choose better food. Indian food. Oh, I'm so tempted, but I'm not going to do the Indian because some people would accuse me of being racist by imitating Indian accents. But how? Come on, imitation, sincerest form of flattery. How am I insulting people by imitating them? I think it's great. Black comedians like Dave Chappelle impersonate white people all the time, and white people don't think that's racist. George Lopez does it all the time. Indian's great. You know, most of the places, and this is the thing, overall, you want to go to ma-pa restaurant establishments over the corporate ones. So if you can find a ma-pa burger place, a ma-pa Italian restaurant, a ma-pa Greek place, that's infinitely better than going to a corporate giant like Applebee's. Now, granted, a lot of these places get their food from the local grocery store. I remember going to my local grocery store and, people behind me have like 36 jars of tomato sauce, or they'll have, 40 cans of salsa. And I'd be like, hey, what, you like the salsa? He's like, oh, I own a taqueria, or I own a Mexican restaurant. So they're just getting they typically get all their ingredients from the local grocery store and mark them up when they make them. Or they get them from Sodexo, or they get them from Sysco, the big U.S. foods, the big wholesale suppliers of restaurants. That's where they get most of their meat from. Sysco's gigantic. Sodexo, they do hospital foods. Most school cafeterias get their food from Sysco or Sodexo or one of these mega chains. So it's all low-grade crap. But let's make the assumption that mom-and-pop places serve better quality food. So Indian. As I mentioned, the curries are awesome. Stick with the curries. They're great in antioxidant, turmeric. Eat a lot of that. Eat a lot of the meats and the vegetables. Try to lay off the heavy creams if possible. You know, like the tikka masala probably has some like heavy dairy in there, but oh man, it's so good. It's so good. But lay off the fried if you can. And it's okay, of course, to eat the naan because the bread, I mean, that's why you go to Indian restaurants is to eat the bread. But again, load up on vegetables and meat, limit the bread, and limit the heavy sauces. The last couple ones, of course, the last of the actual food that I'm going to mention is going to be Middle Eastern and Greek. They are slightly different in their cuisine. You know, if you go to one, if you go to a Middle Eastern restaurant, like, I love your Greek food. Like, we are not Greek. I am Persian, you ignorant American. Do you not know anything? I mean, it's true. I mean, most Americans are super ignorant in geography, right? It's like Korea, Japan, China, where are you from? I am from China. Aren't you Korean? Aren't you guys all the same? Vietnamese, Laotian, Cambodian. I mean, we Americans do such a horrible job at teaching geography. And this breaks my heart because geography is my favorite subject. I'm so good at it, and I just love geography. But most Middle Eastern food, and again, you know, they'll advertise as Middle Eastern, but they could be, like, I know a student of mine whose family owns an Italian restaurant, and she's Persian. So just because you're going to, like, an Italian restaurant, it could be run by Chinese people, for all you know. So don't make this assumption. They always say, like, you know, it's a good restaurant when you walk in and whatever cuisine it is, it's those ethnic people that are eating there and not a bunch of white people. So if you go to a Chinese restaurant, you see Chinese people eating there, and then it's a good sign. But honestly, like, I asked my Persian student, I'm like, what Persian restaurant do you guys go to? Like, why would we eat out if I can just, my mom can make the, you know, better quality food? It's true. It's true. But I guess a good rule of thumb is the ethnicity. But Middle Eastern, let's go with the Greek food. Greek food's going to do a lot of gyros and dolma and moussaka. All those are great. Kind of limit the bread. If you look at the side dishes, hummus is chickpeas with tahini, which is a sesame oil extract. That's great. We've already talked about, I think, in the pantry or the fridge about store-bought hummus, some of the dangers you have there with it just being laced up with vegetable oil, and then it's, of course, enclosed in plastic. But tabbouleh salad's great. That's a parsley salad. You can't go wrong with baba ganoush or kashke pajamon. Those are eggplant dishes. Again, these are vegetable side dishes. Dolma, which is meat and rice wrapped in grief leaves. That's great. I mean, essentially, when you go to a Middle Eastern or Greek restaurant, the only mistake you can make is eating the fried stuff like falafel and some of the heavier sauced dishes. But as a whole, when you eat Greek or Middle Eastern, if it's real Greek and Middle Eastern, it's not going to be too heavy on those sauces. And pretty much whatever you choose is great. But the side dishes are great. You never go wrong with tabbouleh, baba ganoush, hummus, feta cheese salad, a Greek salad, even the rice. I mean, those are pretty great. They're pretty good. Maybe that explains why Arabs and Persians, because Arabs and Persians are not the same, my friends. That's geography. The Persians and the Arabs and the Turks are three separate ethnic groups. They're all Muslim. Well, not all, but, you know, there's always going to be exceptions. The Turks are from Turkey, and a couple of the Caucasus countries are Turkish. But most of them are Muslim. And then the Middle East, the Arabs are going to be, for example, like the Egyptians and the Syrians and the Palestinians and the Saudi Arabians. Those are going to be Arab. Those are Arab, the Iraqis. And they're going to be Muslim, mostly Sunni. And then the Persians are from Iran and Azerbaijan. They're going to be Persian in their ethnicity, but they're also Muslim, but they're mostly Shiite, which is another branch. Okay, so a lot of their food is similar. They're all going to be eating hummus, for example, and a lot of shawarmas. And they're all Muslim. Most of them are Muslim, but they're just distinct racial groups. And in the event that you go to one of these restaurants and they're like, oh, I'm Persian, I'm like, oh, so you're Arabic. Just don't make that mistake. It's a faux pas, or it's a faux pas. That's the way you want to pronounce it. Last thing I want to mention is coffee shops. Okay, these aren't restaurants, but a lot of you guys go to the McDonald's of coffee, which is Starbucks. Again, you know, they just came out with that unicorn frappuccino. I mean, that looks so disgusting. It looks so hideously disgusting. And I don't go to Starbucks because I'm not a coffee guy. And even if I was, I'd go to local places or places that are one of the They call the little driving ones. They drive around. They tend to be a little better quality, but I would never go to Starbucks. And not to say that you can't get good quality stuff at Starbucks, but the typical teenager and millennial is going to be drinking the sugar laden fraps and those kind of drinks. And just know they just have tons of syrups and the sugars and the food dyes. I mean, there was a great infographic I saw last fall about the pumpkin spice latte and exactly how much pumpkin is actually in it. And it just tears down the Starbucks. It's a great infographic. I would look it up if you're into that drink. But it just shows how little ingredients are actually natural ingredients are in those things. They're just chemical cocktails. I mean, they're almost like sodas. So if you're going to go to these coffee shops, get black coffee and just lightly add stuff to it, really. I mean, now you can get them with coconut milk or a milk alternative, which is great. I think it's great. Always go with the coconut before you go with the soy or the almond or the rice. Definitely go with that as an option and just limit the amount of sugar, but try to avoid the syrupy stuff. And same thing with the teas. Again, there are a lot of concoctions. I drink my tea straight, just green or white. I don't put anything in it, but that's just me. I like it that way. And of course, when you're at Starbucks or in these places, these bakeries, try to lay off the croissant and the muffins because those are just processed crap. A lot of empty calories and sugar. Last thing I want to mention is coffee shops. You know, right now, Asprey, he and his bulletproof stuff, it's very popular. Celebrities are loving it. People are loving it. I've never tried it because I can't drink coffee. Coffee makes me way too jittery. So I don't know if it's good. People say it's good. You can try with butter. You can try with MCT oil. I think that's the recommended way is to get it with medium chain triglyceride oil, MCT oil. It's a nice burner, nice keto burner. Or you could do coconut oil. Give it a shot. If you're a coffee person, from my understanding, it kind of tastes like kind of a hot chocolate kind of consistency. It's very frothy. And just play around with it until it tastes the way you want it to taste. But bulletproof coffee keeps you and a fast, from what I understand, it's definitely ketogenic. It's just a lot of fat. It's just pure fat. So definitely try that if you're a big coffee guy. And try to lay off the Starbucks because do we really want to give profit to Starbucks? Do we really want to do that? So eating out is not really a death sentence for healthy eating so long as you make minor adjustments. The biggest one, honestly, is going to be asking to have your food cooked in lard or butter, preferably butter. And just watch the side dishes and watch the heavy creams because all of these restaurants in America are going to be doing the heavy cream. So just make those slight adjustments and you're going to be fine. You can eat out. Now, I don't recommend eating out a lot, but you can make sound judgments, especially if you go to restaurants over fast food. So that's all I have to say today. This is Gregory Luna from Naturopathic Earth Radio, or Radio Le Monde. Radio del Monde. I'm trying to do the French. Radio El Monde Naturopathique. Ooh la 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 la. So until next time, take care. God bless. Peace out.
Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Courtesy of Art of Escapism.